Tonight I'd like to invite you to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 reads this way. It says, "And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight. We do thank you again for the privilege of assembling together as your people. Lord, we ask for the blessing of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds into your truths this evening. May you open up our hearts to receive your word for us tonight. And Lord, may we follow you in every way in our lives. May we trust you by faith, fearing nothing, Lord, because you hold us in your hands, and that you love us, and that you work out all things for your glory and for our good. And we thank you for that. So bless us tonight, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message this evening is simply, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." Out of Egypt have I called my son. Let me go ahead and get this thing together here. I think, I got this out of the way here. When we consider this idea here of Egypt, Egypt really holds a very peculiar place for Israel and also for the people of God as we serve the Lord. It's a place sometimes of refuge, but then it's also a place of trials, right? The Israelites, they fled there and they escaped the famine, but then what happened was they were put under bondage, and then God called them out of Egypt, right? And he also did this for the Lord Jesus Christ. We find that right there, this prophecy, and we'll look at it here in just a moment, was speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, was it not? We just read that there. And so when you consider Egypt, remember, Abraham took shelter there when he was there because of a famine in the land. Joseph was taken to Egypt to escape his brother's persecution, really. They wanted to kill him, and they sold him to the Ishmaelites, and he was brought there to Egypt. And then Jacob... and his whole family, Israel, was led to Egypt because of a famine. Then Moses was trained and reared in Egypt for God's purpose. And then it was out of the spoils of Egypt that the furniture for the tabernacle was made. Isn't that amazing? And then the timber for the temple was cut down by Hiram, the Phoenician, that the Gentiles might have a share in the building of the temple of God, revealing that they would one day be fellow heirs with Israel. Isn't that amazing how God grafts everything and pulls everything together? While Egypt was a place of shelter for the people of God, it would also become a place of bondage. Now, every one of us go and into trials and different tribulations, but it's trying our faith, and it's causing us to look to the Lord for our strength. And that really comes to the place where we are brought to the place where we can let go of our understanding. That's what causes problems. We hold on to what we're thinking and how we feel, and instead of thinking the Lord knows better than what we do. And that's really a daily battle, isn't it? When you stop and think about it. But we can, in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can overcome that. I was reminded many years ago, there was a lady who mentioned in prayer, you know, this is happening to my son, this left and right. And she said, you know, Lord knows he doesn't need that. Well, that's not necessarily the case. That might be exactly what he needs to bring him to the right way of living his life. He was having some issues in his life, and he was not really living for the Lord. And so maybe the Lord was trying to get his attention. Now, I know we don't want hardships and we don't want difficulties, and we certainly aren't asking the Lord for these things. But when they do come into our lives, may we be reminded that God is working those things out for our good, that we might be drawn closer to him. And we'll look at that tonight. You know, I have come to this place. Whenever there's ever a question, do we serve a mighty God? Yes. Do we serve a perfect God? Yes. He's perfect in every way, is he not?
So whenever I come to a place in the Scripture that I don't understand or that doesn't make sense to me, I just leave it at that. It doesn't make sense to me. Now, I will pursue it and I will ask the Lord. And there are some things that we won't know until we see the Lord, if we need to know them at that time. We don't know that we really need to know them. But we can trust the Lord that everything He does is perfect and right and holy and just, even though it may not make sense. Now, the atheist is another story. They're going to look for excuses not to believe the Lord, but you and I are looking for God's purposes and God's reason to completely put our faith and trust in Him. So as we consider this tonight, we want to consider the place of brokenness, and that really this is when they're called down into Egypt, the children of God, and then an amazing truth, we'll look at that here, and then the place for trials, and then called out of Egypt. So let's look at this situation here where they're called out, but they first must go down into Egypt. Every child of God is called out of the world. Egypt is a picture of the world, but we're in the world before we get saved, and then through understanding the conviction of the Holy Spirit, we understand that God is our Redeemer. Then He pulls us out of the world, but it doesn't mean that we won't have any trials. Trials are in the world, and we're in the world, but we're not of it. And so God is wanting to work all these things in our lives to enable us to be refined. That's what God's trying to do. Gold, when it is purified, has to go through the fire. Now, why does God really want us to understand this? So we don't think some strange thing is happening in our life. For one reason or another, sometimes, you know, God is causing us to have more faith in Him. Sometimes He's trying to get us to break away from our way of thinking to His way of thinking. And we looked at, this morning was a wonderful Sunday school class, and of course, I think every time is a wonderful time as we open up the Word of God. But we find so many times that the disciples had a way of thinking that was not God's way of thinking. Is that fair enough to say? Humankind have a way of thinking that's not God's way of thinking. But here's the good news: God is wanting us to think like Him. He is. He's wanting us to think like Him. So He's given to us His Word so that we might think the way the Lord thinks. And there's peace in that. And there's joy and there's rest. There's contentment. There's fulfillment. Even when things aren't going our way, we can have peace with the Lord. Now, the world, you'll never find peace in the world. The world has no peace. All these people that are rich and famous, and I just say that because it just seems to be that's what the lost world, right? That's what I thought was success, right? To have a lot of money and have an easy, comfortable life. But really, the best thing in life to have is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Without that, we have absolutely nothing. And so part of the process of this relationship is letting go of what we think and allowing the Lord to work these things out and to be still and know that the Lord, He is God. Is that the truth? Lord, I have to, and I want you to know something, just so if you're struggling with this and if you've had battles with this, join the club. every child of God has struggled. David, we looked at him this morning, a man after God's own heart, fell into unbelievable sin. But he was pardoned, and we don't look to that as an excuse, but we look to that to see the mercy and grace of God, that when we do fail, God wants us to come back to Him. That's the important truth. God loves us beyond what we can ever even imagine. What a great benevolent God we have, that He is never finished with us. He is never done. He's never done and never will be done with us because of the love He has for us. I don't understand it. I'm glad of it. How about you? Isn't that wonderful? All right. So we must go down through this process and through this time of trial. And I want you to see something here in just a moment. The Lord said, He said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. You remember that? That's what He does. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Do you feel loved? If you've been rebuked, if you've been chastened, you're loved by the Lord. And that's important because God wants us to rest in that and He doesn't want us to get anxious about it. So the Lord brings us down that He may bring us up to a greater height in our relationship with Him. he realizes, and my goodness, you know, I know I refer to Peter so many times because it's so true, isn't it? He had that foot and mouth disease. He kept putting his foot in his mouth, saying all the wrong things and doing all the wrong things. But the Lord brought him back, didn't he? But that had to be. So in your life and mine, we are going to do things and say things that aren't God's way. And then God's going to stop us through whatever means that he's going to do, trials and tribulations, to get our attention to say, now listen, this is not what I want. The Word of God guides us into the truth, but we conflict sometimes with the Word of God because of our thinking. And God wants us to rest in him, does he not? He wants us to trust him and say, okay, let me take the steering wheel and trust me in every situation. Don't try to say, well, this is what I need to do. No, God knows what he needs to do for our lives, does he not? And even if they may, sometimes we don't like the way things go, so we think there's a problem. No, we may be exactly where God wants us to be so that he can get our attention. We can't give him our attention. He must get our attention. You remember we looked at this here not too long ago when the Lord asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? And they said who they thought he was. But who do you say that I am? And Peter, just like that, said, thou art the Son of God. And he said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. He's the one that revealed it to Peter. And so we need revelations from the Lord. We need him. Listen, even when we read his word, if God is not revealing anything to us, we're just reading the familiar stories, but we need a spiritual application. We are not learning the word of God or studying the word of God for simply just knowing the word of God. We're studying it to know the Lord to a greater degree. And we're wanting him to enlighten us on our relationship with him. And that has to come with an interaction or by an interaction with one with another, us with the Lord God. So here he is, and he called, even when Israel was at their worst place, God called them for the first time. When they were in Egypt, he called Israel his son. Let me invite you over here. Go with me back to the book of Exodus chapter 4 just for a moment. Exodus chapter 4. And I want you to see this here in verse 21. The Lord is not ashamed of his people, even when they are in bondage. He loves them. Isn't that amazing? And by the way, God is the one that allows these things that he might draw his children to himself. So here's a good thing that's happening, and they're getting ready to be released, but they've been in bondage for some over 400 years. So look with me, if you will, in verse 21. And notice what happens right here. It says, and the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all the wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand. Listen to this. But I will harden his heart that he shall not let the people go. He says, I'm going to judge him. He's gone his way, and he's not going to receive this. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, here's what he wants him to say. Thus saith the Lord Israel, I'm saying, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my what? Israel is my son, even my firstborn. So while they're in bondage, while they're being chastened, God is not ashamed to call them, to call his people, his children, his son. And say, verse 23, and I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. If thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Did God do that? Yes. He did do that. So he's telling Moses before he says, this is what I want you to say. This is what's going to happen, but this is what I want you to say. For the first time, God is acknowledging Abraham was the friend of God, but now he's letting them know, listen, this is my son. Israel is my son. Isn't that's amazing when you stop to think about that. And so the salvation of God to mankind is only possible by a broken Savior. The Lord himself was broken for you and I. Isn't that amazing? So if we shouldn't think anything different. If God broke his son for us, will he not also break us? that we might be pliable in his hands. This is the truth. This is the word of God, and this is what he's wanting us to understand. Didn't the Lord say, this is my body which is broken for you? Isn't that what the Lord said? Right, this is my body which is broken for you. And we ought to follow his example. Lord, do the breaking where you need to do it in my life. Because we're not just asking anybody to do this. We're asking God, who does how many things right? All things right. All things that are good for us. And so, can we trust the Lord? That's an important question. To do the breaking where it needs to be broken. If the old man is not broken, the new man can't come forth. If we're filled with the old man, the new man, the Holy Spirit, can't come forward. And it's the Holy Spirit, when he comes forth out of our lives, that when we share the gospel, we'll be moved to do things for the Lord, and people's lives will be changed, because it won't be ourselves, it will be the Lord in our lives. But what he uses, he breaks for his honor and glory. When the little boy was there with the bread and the fishes, he broke it, didn't he? To use it for his honor. And then he multiplied it. And so likewise in our lives, he does the very same thing. So I want you to see something. Go with me over to the book of Psalms just for a moment. Psalm 69. Psalm 69. And I want you to see something here. Psalm 69. Look at verse 20. Reproach, Psalm 69, verse 20. I do want you to see this. Reproach hath what? Broken. Did you see that? Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness, and I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. This is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is prophetic. You're going to see this here. Verse 21. They gave me also gall for my meat. And in my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. Who is that? That's the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, is it not? So if the Lord was broken for us, cannot the Lord break his people for his honor and glory as well? It glorified the Lord. Now listen, that is not natural to our way of thinking, but we're trying to yield ourselves to the way that God thinks. And so the Lord, when we have a trial, did the Lord raise up arms? Did the Lord said, okay, now we're going to fight. Now we're going to... No, he yielded, didn't he? He yielded to the hand of the Lord, and he trusted. But could the Lord have not come down off the cross when they were saying, hey, if you be the Messiah, you be the God, come down. Come off the cross, they were saying to him. Could he have come down off the cross? But he didn't, did he? And so in our lives, when we face a trial or a difficulty, God doesn't necessarily, it depends on the situation, but if God brings something into our life, God's not necessarily trying for us to try to figure out a way to get out of it, but to trust the Lord through the situation, through the trial, and through the difficulty with the peace of God. We can't fabricate that. Even when we have a hardship in our lives, a trial or a difficulty, is it really becoming for us to complain about it? When we're complaining and we're grieving about it, what are we really saying about the Lord? We're saying he's not in control, aren't we? And it's not a good testimony. I will tell you, it is impossible for us to do this in our strength. But we can do it in the Lord's strength, who has supplied us and given to us everything that you and I need on this side of eternity to honor and glorify the Lord. Now, this is something that each and every one of us have to do business with between us and the Lord. We could hear this is one thing, but in order to say, Lord, I want to trust you. I want to yield myself to you. I can trust you in what you will do in my life for your honor and glory. Now, I'm just going to use a little bit of human reasoning, and I'm going to say something here. Let me try to say this. We are weak, are we not? All right. What I'm preaching tonight is the truth. Every time the Word of God is, it's the truth, right? Now, I will tell you, I believe the truth, and here's what I think. I believe you believe the truth also. But we need each other to encourage each other when we are in the midst of the trial. Because I don't have the strength, but I can with the Lord, and I can with the Lord's people to encourage me. Listen, God holds you in his hands. And even though, pray that the Lord will give us the appropriate words when we see a brother or sister in the Lord that is facing a trial, that we might encourage them, not shame them. God's not wanting to shame them. God is wanting to encourage them to stay strong, to be faithful, to trust the Lord when it doesn't make sense. That's when faith is required. I mean, when everything's going our way, we don't need really faith, do we? I mean, we want to walk in faith. You understand what I'm saying? We don't need to be dependent upon the Lord as when we are in the middle of, when we don't know what's going on, right? And so God wants us to encourage one another and pray for one another. And here's the thing. We ought to be praying for each other on a weekly basis, if not on a daily basis. God bless my brothers and sisters in Christ. And we've got a wonderful church directory. You can go right through there and look at the faces and say, God bless them to walk with you. Bless me and bless us that we might walk together in your love and in your power and for your glory and trust you. So here's this situation. He says, reproach hath broken my heart. In Gethsemane, Christ had his will broken, didn't he? Remember? Remember when he was in the garden? What did he say? Lord, if, but nevertheless, not my what? But thine be done. The Lord had his own will, didn't he? If it be possible, that was his will. But no, not my will. Isn't that what the Lord said? But thy will be done. We have to also have our wills broken as well. On Calvary, Christ had a broken fellowship with his Father. Did not his Father, when he placed the sin of all humanity on him, did he not turn his back? And did not the Lord say, my God, why hast thou what? Forsaken me. And so the Lord never leaves us and he doesn't forsake us, but he did turn his back on the Son of God at that point because being a holy and righteous God, all of the sin of humanity was placed on him. But praise the Lord, listen, even in our darkest hour, God, because the blood of Christ covers us, he never forsakes us. Isn't that good? Man also has to be broken at the foot of the cross. That's where salvation takes place, isn't it? We're broken at that point. If we're saved, if we got saved, we were broken at the foot of the cross. What did we realize? We're guilty. I'm wrong. We're broken. Can't fix me. Can't fix me. Who can? The Lord. The Lord is the only one that can fix me. He's the one that puts me on right standing with him. So we have to be broken before the Lord can fix us. And he lets us know that what we are so that we can be broken. So the spiritual battle here, when we consider, Satan seeks to destroy the seed of God. That was the Son of God, was it not? And everyone that's after the Lord is part of the seed of God. And he's looking to destroy us. He does not want us to have a good witness. Pharaoh's heart was hardened. He's a type of Satan, is he not? Or Antichrist anyway. He was trying to destroy the people of God. And so the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer what? Persecution. Shall suffer persecution. And so let's not think it a strange thing if we are persecuted because, listen, you and I, as the Son of God was taken out of Egypt, you and I also follow the same path as the Son of God, and you and I are pulled out of Egypt as well, a picture of the world. All right, let me show you something amazing. You're right here in the book of Psalms. Go to Psalm 105, verse 26. Let me show you something here. Psalm 105, verse 26. Watch this. Ready? Psalm 105, verse 26 says this. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They showed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they rebelled not against his word. He turned their waters into blood and slew their fish. Their land brought forth frogs in abundance in the chambers of their kings. He spake, and there came divers sorts of flies and lice in all their coasts. And notice, he gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. He smote their vines also and their fig trees, and he brake the trees of their coasts. He spake, and the locusts came and caterpillars, and that without number. And did eat up all the herbs in their land, and devoured the fruit of their ground. He smote also all the firstborn in their land, the chief of all their strength. He brought them forth also, listen to this, with silver and gold, and there, listen, this is important, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Speaking of Israel, when he brought them out. Look at verse 38. And Egypt was glad when they departed, for fear of them fell upon them. Fear of the Israelites. Can you imagine? You know what they say? Listen, they say that, theologians, there was about 2.5 million people that walked out of Egypt when they were released. That's a lot of people. Now, not one of them was carried on a stretcher. Not one of them was sick. Not one of them was feeble. God saw to that. What do we have here with the college? I think it's about maybe 130-some-odd thousand people in population. Let's just round it up, 150,000. Do we have sick people in the hospital today? Can you imagine 2.5 million people, not a feeble person? How does that happen? There were all sorts of ages. The Lord did that. The Lord gave Israel the strength to be brought. Who will give you and I the strength to walk upright before the Lord? The Lord will do that. And so this is what the Lord does here. So the central thought when we consider this in the Bible concerning God the Father was that His Son, Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be honored and glorified. Isn't that the theme when you look at the Word of God? Everything points to the Son, right? The Father was magnifying the Son. The Son was honoring the Father, and the Holy Spirit was empowering everything by the power of the Spirit. I'm convinced that God created the world with the idea that the Lord's death, resurrection, and reign was the central theme. Don't you? When you stop it, that's all that matters. What really matters? It's the Lord's death for our salvation. It's His resurrection in our salvation. And it's Him ruling and reigning forever and ever. Isn't that wonderful? And that's our place. So what is the place for trials? When we think about it, remember how the Lord Jesus, when He came into the world, you remember what happened to Him? There was no room for them in the end. Let's not expect to be received by the world. The world's not going to receive us. We're not trying to make friends with the world. We're trying to witness, be a witness in the world. That's what God wants us to be. So Herod wanted Him killed. You remember that? So much so that he had every child 2 years and under killed. He wanted to make sure that he got the Lord. But the Lord had him leave. So when Jesus stands to fight His wars, how does He fight? Does He say, okay, everybody, get your arms. We're fighting against the world. No. What did He say? He said, my kingdom is not of this world, else my servants would fight. He said, we don't do that. We don't fight. The Lord conquers by flight rather than by fighting. He says, no, I'm going to yield. I'm not going to do that. Now, that's not passive. That really takes the strength of the Lord to trust the Lord. That's what the Lord did. He said, I'm in the hand of the Father. I know exactly what's going on. You and I also need to know what's going on in our lives. God is wanting to manifest His life in ours. Did you get that? God is wanting to manifest His life, and He wants to glorify Himself in your life and mine. In your life and mine, God has chosen to glorify Himself. But we cannot do that if we're holding the steering wheel to our life. We have to say, Lord, I'm going to trust You, and I'm going to stop saying, this is what needs to be done. I'm just going to start saying, Lord, tell me what needs to be done. Show me how to follow You. Because if we're not careful, we get way ahead of the Lord, and we're missing the Lord. We're saying, well, if we just do this, and if we just do that. No, God's already told us what to do, and that is to seek Him with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and all of our soul, and He will show us the way. And He'll guide us, if we can trust Him. And that's easier said than done. And I want to say, it's not a difficult thing to do, it's a hard thing to let ourselves yield so that the Lord can do these things. Because we're like, no. This is the way you do it. Who says? Well, I say. Well, what's that mean? How about what does God say? See, when we want to see, listen, we need to petition the Lord before His throne to do His work and His will in our lives. That's what He's wanting to do. So, here we find that the Lord's, we'll call them the foster parents, right? Mary and Joseph. They brought them down into Egypt. And they had enough faith when Herod was dead to trust the word of God to take him back. And now they're going back to Israel the place where there was conflict or where their lives were threatened, they were going to trust the Lord. So he says, out of Egypt have I called my son. Let me just show you something here in the book of Hosea. Let me invite you. Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. I want you to see this. And that's right after Daniel there. This is the prophecy. Hosea 11, verse 1. When Israel was a child, then I loved him. Now watch this. And called my son out of Egypt. You remember, this is what was spoken of by the prophet. This is the prophet he's talking about. And called my son. He was speaking about Jesus in the Old Testament, about calling his son out of Egypt. That's what he was doing. And so the Lord is not wanting us to miss that, because the Lord can do amazing things. Who would have ever thought? Do you think the Pharisees knew the plan of God? It was in the Word. It was right in front of them. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have my son. They didn't know how it was all put together. Jesus was pursued by Herod because he did not like the idea of him being king. He was king. And so he wanted to do away with him. There was a reason why that the Lord was called out of Egypt. Many reasons, but particularly because his life was threatened. But then all of God's people are called out of the world. Egypt is a picture of the world. And then God has a way of doing things, of calling people that you and I would never dream he would call. You believe that? You've heard this said before. When we get to heaven, there are going to be people there that we would have never dreamed would be in heaven. Is that true? And then there's going to be people that are not there that we would say, I thought they would be there. I thought. Remember what the Lord said? Not everybody that says unto me, Lord, Lord. Isn't that amazing? In that day, they're going to find out. That's a scary place to be. And I'm sure they don't know. They don't know, because they say, but Lord, Lord, this is what we've done. No, what's important is what the Lord is doing for us. And the Lord, what he wants to do for us, listen to this, is that he might glorify himself in our lives. I want you, we're going to do this last scripture, and these are people that are called out of the world. I want you to see this. This is amazing, because you and I, what does the Lord think about Egypt? Go over to the book of Isaiah, if you will, just for a moment. Isaiah chapter 19. What do you think of Egypt? You think of Pharaoh. You think of the Egyptians that put the people of God into bondage. But this is the mind of God. Look at the mind of God here. Isaiah chapter 19, we're going to pick up in verse 18, and then we're going to be finished here. And this is the way that the Lord works, and we ought to rejoice and be glad in it, because we wouldn't be here either if it wasn't for the mercy and grace of God. Look at this, verse 18. In that day shall five cities in the land of Egypt speak the language of what? Canaan. That's the Hebrew language. Canaan, the people of God, and swear to the Lord of hosts. One shall be called the city of destruction. In that day shall there be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt. What? Only God. Only God. And a pillar at the border thereof to the Lord. To the Lord. And it shall be for a sign and for a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt, for they shall cry unto the Lord because of the oppressors, and he shall send them a Savior and a great one, and he shall deliver them, and the Lord shall be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians shall know the Lord in that day. Who would have ever thought that? And shall do sacrifice and oblation, yea, they shall vow unto the Lord and perform it. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? See, only God could do something like that. And do you know that God is wanting to do that with you and I? Do you know he's wanting to take a broken vessel for his honor and glory? And all you and I have to do is just trust him in the breaking. We have to be careful that we don't bicker and moan and complain, but that we just trust the Lord to do the breaking where he knows. He knows where it needs to be broken. He knows exactly what our problem is. And our problem is when we get to, when we step out in front of the Lord and say, this is what needs to be done. I want it, listen, I want it done. We have the Frank Sinatra problem. My way. I want it done my way. That's what we want. If it's not done my way, it can't be right. Can't be right. No, we're not right. Amen? And it needs to be done the Lord's way. And we need to trust him in that. And grow in that. Is the Lord done with his church? We wouldn't be here, would we? We wouldn't be here. But see, the problem is, the Lord is not done with his church. But like the Laodiceans were, they were increased with goods and had need of nothing. They were done with the Lord. They were just kind of going through the routines, weren't they? They were just going through their things. And what didn't they realize? They were cold-hearted. No, lukewarm. Worse than cold. Worse than cold. They were lukewarm, weren't they? And God said, oh, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth if you don't get this right. It made him sick. It made him sick. We don't want to make the Lord sick. I'm not saying that we're the Laodicean church, but we have cause to be concerned, don't we? We do have cause. We want to see the Lord working, not ourselves working. We want to be completely yielded, trusting him that he is going to work in our lives, and we're going to trust him when it's not comfortable. If we're going to follow the Lord, if we can trust him, when things don't go our way, it's still okay, isn't it? Right. Who's on the throne? The Lord is. Amen. You and I are not on the throne. The Lord is on the throne. And so come what may, should we walk in the love of God? If we walk in the love of God, we'll have the peace of God, won't we? If we walk in the love of God, if we walk in the love of God, he will be honored and glorified through our lives. And we will be what he wants us to be by his mercy and grace. To us first, we become the recipients, and we get to say, thank you, God, and let me be the conduit. You've heard it before, right? God pours it in, we let it out. The Lord, what the Lord gives us, not what we have. We don't want anything to go out what we have. That's not worth having. Whatever the Lord gives us of mercy and grace and love and gentleness and kindness, that's what the Lord wants displayed. So what's coming? No, just answer between you and the Lord. What's coming out? What's coming out? Me or the Lord? What's coming out? Me or God in your own personal life? Because, see, we're all one thing here tonight. And I thank the Lord for you. I do. But the truth of the matter is, we all know we deal with the flesh, don't we? Come on, we all deal with the flesh. And so we need to be what the Lord wants us to be all the time. All the time. And that has to be engaged on purpose in your own personal life. You have to say, Lord, I do want to follow you. I want to follow you, not myself. Help me to see you and not my way of thinking. Help me to see what you're wanting to do. And then we can begin to experience the grace and power of God in our lives that he will use to honor and glorify himself. And we can, these are all good things. Can we see that tonight? The Lord breaking us and allowing us to go through the trials and tribulations so that he can take us to a greater height. Amen. To take us to a greater height. I believe everybody here wants to draw nearer to the Lord. Amen? But it's going to be the Lord that will do the work. And all you and I have to do is simply trust him and follow him. Amen? Would you stand as we prepare for the Lord's invitation? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for your love and your mercy and your grace to each and every one of us. May we never take that for granted. Lord, bless us. Open up our hearts and minds and our understanding that we might be the vessels you've designed us and created us to be to your honor and glory. Bless and we'll praise you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.